And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. For more information, you can check out our website. It's FAIR.org. The show's engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
How's it going? My name is Nikki.
And I'm Jenna.
And we're here to talk to you about Chico Pride.
Chico Pride is coming up this weekend, so mark your calendars or put in your phone. It's going to be a weekend of celebratory fun.
Exactly. The Chico Pride 2017 theme is Let's Get Back to the Future, responding to the needs of our marginalized communities as we move into the future.
Starting Thursday, August 17th at 5:30 p.m., we have the Queer Justice is Racial Justice Pride community meeting, followed by the Chico Pride comedy event, Let Me Be Perfectly Queer at Duffy's Tavern.
Friday, August 18th is the annual Pride Teen Dance at 7 p.m. at Trinity Methodist Church for all the lovely gaybies ages 13 to 17. Mocktails, photo booths, and dancing in addition to the Pride Variety Show with returning special guest hosts Spikey Van Dyke and Tucker Noir, 7 p.m. at the Chico Women's Club.
Saturday is the main stage day, Chico Pride Festival itself, from 10 to 4 p.m. in the Chico Downtown Plaza featuring guest hosts Spikey Van Dyke and Tucker Noir.
Continuing with Fierce and Queer Beer Garden live entertainment, 2 to 6 p.m., ending the day in the one and only Pride Dance, ages 18 and up, 8 to 12 p.m. at the Chico Women's Club.
All these events can be found on Facebook at Chico Pride 2017. Stay up to date and invite all your friends.
Happy Pride!
Word up, right on. Thank you for that, Chico Pride, something that we can definitely look forward to. Spikey McDykey, right on. Thank you for that. We definitely got a show coming up for you right now. Talking About Practice is coming up next. But before we do get into all that business right now, we got to give a quick little shout out right now to all the sponsors out there that keep KZFR alive, that keep it talking, you know, that keep us on the air. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Advantage Insurance Services. Local independent insurance broker Dave Dalton can provide for all your insurance needs. Advantage Insurance is proud to support KZFR and can be reached at 342-0540. For a quote or more information, visit them online at AdvantageInsuranceChico.com. Right on, Advantage Insurance Services. We appreciate you supporting us here at Chico at KZFR. But like I said, wow, I'm just having a tough time right now, guys. Sorry about that. But Talking About Practice starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
That is right, folks. We are talking about practice. I am your host, Derek Isomaki. We are Chico's only locally produced sports talk show. I'm joined with me by John Lucan. What's good, my dude? How we doing?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, you know, fantastic. And we got Jordan Booth, DJ J Pounds. He really needs no introduction, but I got to give him one anyway because everyone needs some form of introduction. But we know who he is. He's been on the show many times. We've only been on the show for a year, so we can't have many years on here right now. But yes, we appreciate Jordan for coming on right now. Jerome right now, he is on a little vacay action right now.
Ooh, Hollywood Jerome.
Yeah, he is on a little vacay action right now. So shouts to him. Have fun out there, man. Catch a lot of fish. I don't know what you're doing out there. I don't get fishing, but, you know, I'm from L.A. We don't have... The L.A. River is the saddest thing for a river ever. Ever. That's awful.
Is that a river?
It's a man-made river.
Okay.
Yeah. It really, when you show people like what the LA River is, they're like, what? What? That can't be a river. It's to call it a river is honestly to like deface the name river, I feel. it's such a...
Of everything that's what's beautiful about a river.
Well, it's LA pretty much summed up in one thing right there. You know, it's the LA River. It fits perfectly right now.
Good luck.
But like I said, we have a show for y'all today. NFL preseason. Football finally upon us. I know a lot of people are waiting for this day, but I don't know. I'm not one that gets hyped for preseason.
Insane.
Wait, give me the first week one. Week one, then I'll get into it.
Really bad Giants season, so preseason is really interesting
for SF fans. You looking for that Kaepernick? I'm sorry, not that Niners for that Niner love, but you're not going to get any. Probably it's probably going to be a bad year for you guys there too. So that to look forward to. Leonard Fournette thinks he's got all figured out. We got a little Michael Bennett, and we got Marshawn Lynch doing a little social justice of themselves. We got LeVar Ball, Ice Cube, terrible 90 seconds of TV. Zeke out for a period of time right now. Foot and mouth, some news for y'all. But let's get started. Like I said, NFL preseason week one just went down. And like I said, your boy Leonard Fournette, Jacksonville Jaguars, first round pick, says NFL is easy for him. Like he's got it all figured out right there. Like, do you think it's kind of fair to make that statement after 1 week of football? And he's making the statement, granted, he said being in the SEC, he thought the NFL would be a lot faster than it really was. And the SEC has kind of gotten ready for NFL. I didn't play in the SEC, and nor have I played in the NFL, so I don't know what either of those are like. But I'm just wondering, do you think it's fair? Do you really think it's wise for a Jacksonville Jaguar, Leonard Fournette, has not yet played a minute of NFL real football, to say the NFL is slower than he thought it was?
I could understand him saying it's slower than he thought it was, because, I mean, he did play in one of the best conferences in the SEC. He's always been a man-child, you know, comparisons to Adrian Peterson coming out of college and high school and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's always been ahead of the curve, and I guess the NFL is just no exception for him. To call it easy, it may be a little arrogant, but I'm sure for him, it's probably not as hard as it would be for a lot of other people, because he's pretty outstanding.
I see exactly where you're coming from. The SEC, I mean, that's the closest thing to – that's like the IMG Academy in high school getting you ready for D1 football. That's the reason you're going to those schools. The SEC prepares you the best of any Big 5 conference or Power 5 conference in college football for the NFL. So I see kind of where he's coming from when he says that. But, man, you can't say that being a Jacksonville Jaguar, you know?
Let's just read the line right now. Nine rushing attempts, 31 yards. He had one TD.
One TD, but that was like from 2 yards out.
2 yards out. And you're going against New England's second team defense.
No, I mean, he had a first team offensive series. So he had...
But no, New England's first team didn't play from what I understood.
Right, most of their first team.
Yeah, so he didn't play against New England's first team defense. I don't care if he played with a first team or not. He played against New England's second team defense, and he's saying it's easy. So, I mean, it's a nice shot. Do you think it's a shot like the New England right now? Do you feel like, oh, hey... New England, you won the Super Bowl, but... Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we have to take his statement like hand in hand. Just because he's saying it's easy for him doesn't necessarily mean he has to go out every game and run for 1,000 yards. You know what I'm saying? It could just... like you know what I'm saying?
I feel like if you're saying it's easy, though, you should be able to put up good numbers.
I mean, it's preseason.
No doubt. Right. So you shouldn't even be saying it,
We'll see what type of season he puts together. If he puts together a solid season,
I'm just saying. Count your chicks before you hatch. Never does good for you.
Well, let's look at the offensive line for the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, not very good. And usually that's kind of the tale.
I mean, you can just say that about the Jacksonville Jaguars in general. Not very good.
Right. But, I mean, they have some pieces that they can work around. But you look at good offensive players, good running backs, it comes from that offensive front. And if you don't have that, I don't care how big you are, how highly touted you are coming out of college, you're not going to make it easy on yourself doing that.
They have been getting better every year, though. I think this year they may break through a little bit. Maybe not make the playoffs, but be a little bit.
Well, it's hard playing that division
for you.
It's hard playing that division.
9-7.
Okay, but above 500?
Which is great for that division.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at that division, that's great for them. I mean, a 9-7, that's a Super Bowl victory right there.
Yeah, 9-7, 8-8.
Close to Jacksonville.
Until Tom Brady leaves this league, Jacksonville is irrelevant.
I mean, we were talking about, like I said, this is it is almost 5:39 right here, talking about practice, KZFR 90.1. We were talking about how running backs need a good line. Speaking of good lines and running backs, we see a situation going over in Dallas right now where Ezekiel Elliott just got himself a 6-game suspension for alleged stuff right now. Nothing has gone to court at all. which NFL is great at doing. Like, they love
the local authorities and government have not even wanted to pursue this case. Really, they tried, you know, at the beginning because of whatever lack of evidence or discreditable evidence.
But like I said, six.
But this is the NFL. This is the NFL coming down. The NFL is the one doing this suspension just based off, you know, just the altercation in itself, allegedly or not. You know, just because this is arising, and I think it's a little bit from previous Greg Hardy's, Ray Rice's,
yes sir.
You know, giving out those two game or reducing a 10-game to a 6-game on some pretty, I mean, films coming out and pretty atrocious acts, you know, against women and against, you know, spouses. So I think it's NFL kind of saving their own butt on this one, you know, trying to catch it before, you know, get the 6 games out there before, you know, they do the appeal, they go back and
probably 4 games, I'm guessing.
Well, right. They're trying to appeal to 4-2. But you see that with Ray Rice, you know, he's an upstanding dude. He's never had a problem up until this point. On his word, he says it's not that bad. So they go, okay, 2 games, you know, not that bad. Then a video comes out and then everyone's like, what is up with the NFL? Yeah. You know, these guys are horrible people. They just want to make money, which is, I mean, in large part,
accurate.
True.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are. That's their whole point.
It's funny how you see Zeke going through this now, because I feel like if it wasn't as big as a young star, I mean, you look back on Zeke Elliott in St. Paddy's Day, you know, last year, where he kind of had that altercation where he pulled that girl's shirt down, you know, and it's kind of in the party setting, and that still kind of hasn't left my mind on this altercation, you know. This kind of being brought up, and it's like, oh, it's nothing, you know, your word versus mine. But it's like you've kind of seen him in the act doing those kind of things. So it's hard to look at the difference and make me believe that.
Guys need to learn to quench their thirst other ways.
You're deserving of a 6-game suspension.
Well, I'm just saying there is no proof. So how can you?
It's hard. 6 games is a big time. Granted, like I said, we're going to go to the appeal process. Probably going to 4, maybe less than that. But you probably think 4 is what he's going to get. But I mean, Zeke's been a big part of the Dallas organization. Now, granted, you're trying to make this big stand.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he is.
I mean,
a big
that was the best.
Point.
I mean, granted, that's like a Super Bowl victory for everything that happens great in Dallas is amazing. You know, they'll take anything they can get. So they obviously want to build on that. And you have Dak Prescott, two Brooks, you know, they have the Brooks season right there.
Mm.
They're breaking that up for a good portion of the season right now.
Well, I feel like, you know, like on your case, you know, there's no, for, you know, Jordan, for, there's no, you know, evidence. Which, granted, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, and I do believe in that, and that part of the justice system in our country. But at the same time, you know, Jackie McMullen on ESPN, pardon the interruption today, or excuse me, Around the Horn, had a good line that said, you know, there's no such thing as kind of domestic violence or sort of domestic violence. There's no such thing as sort of pregnant. You know, like, you either are or you aren't. You know, there's no bringing, and for the NFL with what they've had to endure the last few years of all these cases of athletes doing this, I think they're just trying to nip it in the bud. And if it's the example they're setting, it sucks that, you know, Zeke has to go through this if he is innocent. But at the same time, I feel like the NFL is just trying to save their own, you know, behind to.
Well, I mean, one thing, I was like, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, in a sense, you know, you knowing that, you know, you're a role model and you're supposed to be an upstanding citizen and all that stuff,
right?
He should already be penalized for putting himself in that position. So I'm not against the penalty or the thing, but we also had a lot of cases in the last year. I mean, it's not even last year, but let's say last 10 years of people, you know what I'm saying, crying wolf in the situation
of no doubt.
False rapes, false domestic violences, false pregnancies, you know what I'm saying, all this stuff. So
I mean,
for
everything that's bad that's happening, like the actual situation that happens out there, you actually do get like fake things too, which it only harms the situation. It makes it even worse right there, because it's not something you should ever fake about. You should never joke about anything like that in terms of if you're trying to claim that happened to you right there, because those are people's livelihoods that are on the line right there.
Exactly.
And you see people get torn up by that.
I think in terms of Zeke, you know, they're naturally, they are going to appeal, just because, you know, there's been no legal action brought and there's no, you know, defined evidence against him. But at the same time, I just think it's the NFL trying to, you know, it's like referees when they miss a call, they give another one back at some point in the game. I think this is the NFL giving that call back, you know, to to kind of set that tone for domestic violence, which I think is a good thing.
It is good, but I think what we need to expect from the NFL is consistency, which we don't get from them at all.
That's what I'm saying. The precedent they set with the whole Greg Hardy and Ray Rice thing. Like, Ray Rice literally is not in the league anymore because a video came out.
Exactly.
And
but Greg Hardy completely needed another year.
Yeah, exactly. Granted, they are both wrong, but just the fact that this man gets a 4-game suspension because there was no video and they're both guilty of the same crime.
Exactly.
Is kind of trippy.
It's frustrating. Yeah. Well, and that's everyone's problem is no one knows where the NFL really truly stands on this.
I don't think the NFL knows where it stands. It's kind of just like, going by like, it's like chafing on the wind. Like, okay, let's see what happens to us. You know,
whatever makes them the most money and doesn't get the most against them.
Yeah, I think another part of it is obviously it's not getting as much attention, so it's not as big of a deal, I feel, especially with the whole instance that happened this past weekend, obviously the violence that happened over in Charlottesville, not just Charlottesville, throughout the country right now, and it's kind of a sad point in this country that we're seeing right now. And we're seeing players trying to take those stands and make those social marks, and we saw that again happening this past weekend during this preseason. A national anthem spark was once again debated with Marshawn Lynch and Michael Bennett, both deciding to sit out the national anthem by not standing in it. Do we have that audio of Greg Hardy?
I'm sorry. Yeah, let me pull it up here.
Yeah. So, like I said, obviously Marshawn Lynch, being Marshawn Lynch, had nothing to say about why he did it. He does his reasons for unbeknownst to him. A lot of people are thinking maybe it's for Colin Kaepernick and what he has to do, what he's been going through. My thing, it is, like I said, the violence that did happen this past weekend in Charlottesville and some of them not being happy with it. But Michael Bennett did have a explanation as to why he took a seat. He is actually not shy away from the microphone and likes to talk a little bit. So we got a little audio from him doing it. Yeah, let's do that.
I think last week, with everything that's been going on the last couple of months, and especially after the last couple of days, seeing everything in Virginia, seeing what's going on out there, and earlier today in Seattle, I just wanted to be able to use my platform to be able to continue to speak on injustice. First of all, I want to make sure people understand I love the military. I love my father was in the military. I love hot dogs like any other American. I love football like any other American. But I don't love segregation. I don't love riots. I don't love oppression. I love gender slander. And I just want to see people have the equality that they deserve. And
right on.
All right, Michael Bennett. Like I said, I mean, I'm glad he does provide an explanation for it. I feel that a lot of times when you do actions and you don't provide any backing for it, and those actions go silent and they go without meaning, and you might think they make it to, people might address their own meaning towards it. And if he feels that action to sit down at the national anthem, I said he has that right to do so.
I mean, the one thing I hate about that stand or that action the most is that when you take that stand, you're deemed unpatriotic. You know, like you don't love America. Right. And like he said in his statement, you know what I'm saying? I love hot dogs just like any other American, you know what I'm saying? My father was in the military and stuff like that. So it's like, it's not that I don't love America, but I would be remiss to not point out its flaws.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, for myself, my personal opinion about it, obviously, I'm not really one that's happy with the action. I don't really care per se. It's doesn't physically affect me in any way right now, and it doesn't affect the way I view this country and whatnot. But for me, I feel that he's talked about how he has a family in the military, and how I didn't really like. I feel that you stand because you have the right to sit, and that's why I think that you should take that stand, because you have people who died for you to be able to sit down. Right. So you take that stand and you say, you know what, I may not agree with what's happening in this country, and we're having a lot of bad things. The violence is definitely prominent, or at least is being shown prominent on our media right now. It's everywhere we look. Right. We've had, unfortunately, a person got killed this past weekend from domestic terrorism, straight up. And we have clashes of this, you know, identity form of politics we're seeing now in the mainstream kind of coming to fruition. That when you bridge people in their most, you know, just basic essences, just what I can see from you, you're going to get a pretty bad clash of things happening. And I understand their stance, and I can respect it. But for myself, like I said, I just have the idea that no matter what, whether I agree with the country or what the direction is going in right now, we are still in what I believe to be one of the greatest countries in this nation, in this world, in terms of the opportunity that we have, the products that we have around us, the things that we take for granted that other countries do not have. I think that's something we always should take into account.
No doubt, but you can't take it. You can't, you know, you can't put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You know, all you know is what you know.
No doubt, yes.
And there are issues in the society that we live in. That doesn't mean that I want to not live in our society, but it needs to be better.
No, it does. Yeah. And I think that there are ways to address that and still keep it. Like I said, that's I take that stance of, like, you should take that stand for the national anthem when it happens, because you always have that right to
I mean, that's what I'm saying. If I have the right to sit, then why is it a big deal if I sit?
Right. I mean, I'm not one that's going to, like, blow it out of proportion. You're willing to do with you as you please.
Yeah.
My personal stance is I would never sit for the national anthem.
No, for sure.
And I can, if you want to sit down, I'm not going to say get up, because, again, it's your right to do that. You don't have to.
But how many white players are sitting?
No, I haven't seen any.
That's what I'm saying. It's black people sitting.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you see the divide in there, obviously.
Yeah.
It breaks down at that point right there, in a very basic point of cultural indifferences right now.
Right. And when you see last year, you know, with Colin, pretty much Colin Kaepernick starting this, you know, to sit.
And Colin Kaepernick and to do that is barely black.
Well, and it's became, well, and besides that, I mean, it's become the, you know, the Colin show, you know, when you talk about just, you know, Colin Kaepernick and this, and it's, no one really wants to talk about what he is actually sitting for, you know, the injustices that are going on, because it's really, it's uncomfortable for a lot of people to talk about. So it's easier for them just to shun, you know, a guy trying to put his platform on spotlight to show these injustices. And now that you see, you know, the atrocities that have happened this last weekend.
Atrocities. Keep going.
Is that not?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the word.
I don't know if you've seen the video, but it definitely makes you sick to your stomach, you know, watching those kind of things happen. But I just think, you know, with Marshawn Lynch and Michael Bennett kind of stepping up to the forefront, not like they needed to get this going, but I think for their personalities and their style in the NFL, they've always kind of been that either silent or quirky, unique, you know, interviewers. I feel like it's going to be, I feel like more on a page of trying to get something changed in the NFL for these guys, because you just see the, like you said, the divide with players and kind of their platforms and what they want to go through. So I just, it's definitely a hairy situation.
And I mean, as much as we're, you know, continuing down this discussion right now, I will always kind of just say whether I disagreed with Colin Kaepernick and what these guys are doing and their stance that they take, I was like seeing the action behind it. And that's what I kind of respect about Colin. He's actually out there doing what he's actually practicing out on the field. And I want to see that more from, I hope that for Michael Bennett and for Marshawn Lynch, it's not just some type of show. And I get it. You want to make a stance. You know what a bigger stance is? Actions that actually try to further on the progression. Instead of, maybe you might try to start this conversation. That's nice. Conversations are great. But you know what? Go back into those communities right there. Have discussions with those communities that are having those issues right now.
Okay,
try
to build them up. Though.
Yeah.
So why do these people, these players, you know, to take this stance against atrocities, as we called them earlier, why do these players have to basically prove, you know, like, they have to prove that they're really about progression and stuff, but like a person who is a bigot or a racist just gets to just live their normal life and continue on what we're trying to change?
Because a bigot in a person is not going to try to change the world. They're fine with what their stance is, and they're not trying to change. They're fine. They're inept. They're ignorant.
Yeah.
And I'm allow you to be, if you want to remain ignorant, I'll allow you to be ignorant. You're allowed to. But I feel that if you want to further change this country, you want to change, you have to be out there doing something. And these guys, they say they have a platform. For me, honestly, I personally kind of hate hearing political discussion in sports fields and in entertainment. I don't like hearing their stances. I don't need to know it. I'll go to my places to find that. I don't need to hear it from you guys. But if you're going to go out there and make these broad statements, like, I can make a broad statement, but you have a way bigger problem, way more opportunities, a lot more at your disposal to do a change, to actually create something. So if they're actually out there doing something,
well,
I'll respect that.
Well,
so those
like
are
that,
just words at that
well,
point.
Well, and I like that in the interview when Michael Bennett said, you know, this isn't about me hating the military, what so many people took Colin Kaepernick for, you know, with his, you know, Fidel Castro shirt and all that. You know, they kind of took it out of context in the sense of he's not looking to bash or hate any sort of group. He's just trying to get his voice out there for more equality on all grounds, every minority group out there. You know what I mean? Whether it be, you know, the homophobic, racist, whatever it is, you know, he's trying to get that platform out there to say, you know, this isn't about going against America and not being patriotic. It's about changing America's.
I mean, that's just saying, there's platforms already out there, tons of platforms, and these guys that make it seem like they have to do it. I just, for me personally, I'm like, yo,
well,
I get it. I'll go over
to
there.
To me, they do have a responsibility on that platform.
Why? So why do you have their sports guys? I don't, because you have a platform, you have to like make.
You sound like an owner.
I'm just saying, but like, why should owners have a statement? Why do I have to take an owner's statement seriously on it? I'm not going to owners well, looking for them.
You sound like, because you like just want them to like shut up and play, and that's what owners want. Like an owner, right. think of like a person who owns a team and has to, you know what I'm saying? Like you're basically responsible for the things Marshawn Lynch says because you own the Raiders, you know what I'm saying? So an owner in that situation would want them to just shut up and play. Talk about the game. Yeah, I had 8 yards for 32 carries or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Some stupid stuff like that. So if that's what you're saying, I don't know if that's a good look, bro.
I mean, I'm not trying to say just shut up and take, like, just sit it and just say what you. I mean, I'm not going to these guys to find out what their political stance is. I don't really care. That's the thing. I'm not someone that
These guys have reach a platform to not only you but to kids growing up to make it seem like it's okay. You know, if I saw Joe Montana smoking cigarettes in commercials growing up, I'm smoking cigarettes. You know what I mean?
No. Like these guys have a stance on there, so they should be careful what they do. But also at the same time, I feel that you're going to start alienating this. The sport is already going to start losing a lot more followers at that point in time because this we're already in a world where political divide is out there every single day. And I'm trying to go to sports to kind of get away from that. That's essentially what sports is for me. That's what I want to view it as. I already get that. I can look at my paper on the front page and I get that.
Well, let's fix regular world first. Then sports can be as peachy as you want them to be.
Right.
I mean, at that point in time,
it's going to spill over. You can't.
No, it will be. And I'm not going to accept. I'm not one that's going to accept the spillage. Like they can do it, but I'm not going to be one that's going to take it seriously or like, oh man, because Michael Bennett's sitting right now, I'm going to start sitting like that. You can sit if you want. You can do as you please. You're an individual. You're a grown man, and you can do as you please.
Mm.
I'm not one to tell you that, but I'm not going to be one that's going to be asking those questions on where you stand politically. If you want to state it, go out there, do it. But I'm not going to be one that's going to be asking those questions. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. Touche.
Yeah, so like I said, we are talking about practice. It is 5:55 here on Monday, August 14th. We said getting on a little nice little rant right there. It gets deep sometimes. Those discussions can obviously go on some big tangents right there. But other things are still happening in the world that we like to call sports. Go on a little lighter note right now. We had a 90 seconds of television that we cannot lose forever, and that was Ice Cube versus LeVar Ball in a 4-point shootout. That
big ball of brand
that should, yeah, that they should probably be ashamed about.
Oh man,
LeVar Ball went 1 for 14. In his attempts, and
splash,
and Ice Cube went 2 for 12.
I love how they both made a bucket. If you watch it, they both made a bucket on the 4-point shot right at the same time. So the whole time, LeVar thought he made that shot,
shot at the same time.
One went in, but it was like right at the rim. So LeVar thought his ball went in, but it was really Ice Cube's.
Yeah,
and the whole time he's thinking he's winning. Honestly, I mean, I'm still in the boat of I think LeVar Ball could handle Ice Cube in a 1-on-1 match.
I can't take him in a Michael Jordan matchup.
But I'm not going to decide from a 4-point shot, you know, a contest. It's like shooting half court for who got out in or who has outs in a pickup basketball game. You know, it's
just curious. What did Ice Cube gain from winning that? Because I know, like, if LeVar won, Ice Cube was going to buy like 10 pairs of the shoes or something.
Right, he was going to buy the whole team some big baller brand shoes.
Yeah, so what did Ice Cube win from that? Nothing?
Free marketing. He got LeVar Ball to come to the big three.
Marketing juggernaut.
LeVar
Ball is, for better or worse, he's a marketing genius. I mean, if he's going to be on your show, on your sports game, whatever it is, you're going to get some sort of rating, whether it be bad or good. And I mean,
all ratings are good ratings.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I like LeVar Ball in this sense, but the look on his face when he lost was pretty funny.
He definitely kind of embodies that was a great kind of perfect embodiment of what LeVar Ball is, you know? He puts up a great show. Yeah. I know, zero actual talent in there.
I feel like it hurts Ice Cube a little bit with the big three. I mean, to me, like, watching that, like, 90 seconds was...
Have you seen actual big three game?
I saw like, the first weekend of it.
Yeah, I watched a couple games.
I feel like they're kind of hard to watch, though.
They're slow. There's no dunks.
To me, it's like kind of a new age version of And-One mixtape. You know, the tour when you saw that. You know, it's kind of the...
At least they were dunking in one, though.
Yeah, they weren't. They weren't dribbling though.
They weren't taking it behind the 3-point line, throwing it back inside, like having. Yeah. It's just old man basketball.
Yeah, right, no, pretty much right. is.
I feel like it's like a really good church league.
Yeah, you know, like a really good church league. But like they don't care if you get hurt because like nobody has work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, yeah, they still draw a crowd. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, they're actually out there.
I mean, because who would want to see Iris, washed up Iverson? You know what I'm saying? Right. Who doesn't want to see Al Harrington?
I mean,
I'd rather sit him at my TV and I'll sit it there. But like, but those, they should on the street court. I feel
those are the games. Those are the games you're gonna get the autographs in. You know what I mean? Reliving their old glory days. Who doesn't want to? What 45-year-old doesn't want to write an autograph to a kid super stoked?
Right.
But you're at the same time you're getting an autograph from Iverson.
That, it don't matter when you got it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's no date on that.
As long as you like, he was 45 when he did this dog. It's no good.
I mean, I wonder. I wonder how much it's changed. You know, like from it started to its ending time. Like how that's like a signature in general. You know, if, like a guy first starts signing things like the very last thing.
Well, I'm sure when you first start, you kind of do like a good semblance of your name.
Yeah.
And then as you get more and more famous, you like, you got to do more and more. So it's just like AI, yeah, AI, yeah, AI, yeah, AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
three.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So like I said, it is now that time where you do got to keep thanking the sponsors for what they do here at KZFR. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. Ken believes in the importance of community radio and encourages other members of the medical community to join the KZFR underwriting family. That's Dr. Ken Logan, family practitioner. Right on, Dr. Ken. We appreciate your support for KZFR. As always, right now, during this time, I want to do a little news cycle for us because, you know, you need the news because if you don't have the news, you don't know what's going on in this world right there. So for all of you out there who wanted to know how Tim Tebow is doing in life, he's doing fantastic because the guy has just learned, and now I know this, he's able to take balls to the face really good. And he can get up and block to first base right now. So add another thing to Tebow's list that he can do other than throw a football. So scientists have recently discovered a trove, is what they're calling, a trove of volcanoes hidden within the Antarctic ice. Roughly, almost 100 volcanoes were located, making Antarctica now the highest contingency of volcanoes in one area. So, I wonder if they're ever going to erupt. That would be my question. Probably not. Bad news for the Florida Gators, as they had to suspend 7 players, including Antonio Callaway, for the season opener against Michigan. Unfortunately, some of the players were caught trying to buy funds with money that with one of their ID cards. They didn't have any money on it, and then proceed to sell those funds on the side, you know, because the hustle don't stop, y'all. Why should you? They're just trying to make a little dollar because they don't really get anything in the college game. But tough loss for Florida and their opener, especially against Michigan. That's always
stoked for Michigan,
right? I mean, as a Michigan fan, I'm fine with that.
You but, would be a Michigan fan.
Dude, those helmets, man.
Those helmets are trash.
Wow.
That's iconic. You can't say that's iconic.
Wow, no. I'm about to kick you off the show. Last time. Mark it, y'all. Last time Jordan Booth on the show.
Trash.
How dare you say
go
that.
Go Buckeyes.
Oh, that's why I said that.
Woo!
It all makes sense. All
right, I thought you were just really saying they're trash because like now I can understand why you're saying they're trash. Because I feel like no one can ever truly say they're trash, you know?
No, they're trash.
No. You're just saying that. For those of you who are looking forward to the Deadpool 2, the sequel, Ryan Reynolds coming on your big screen again, might get delayed. Some bad news coming out of that camp right now. Unfortunately, a stunt actor passed away.
What?
Got killed on set.
Wow.
A female stunt driver performing a motorcycle scene. Unfortunately, passed away. So, don't really know how it's going to, you know, anytime there's a death on any type of anything, things come down, you know. Investigations happen, things get halted. So, Deadpool 2 might probably be a little delayed, guys.
Bummer.
So, tragic incident that happens there. Prayers definitely go out to the family of that stunt driver.
Prayers out to her family, but I didn't care for the first one.
You didn't like Deadpool?
No,
really?
Really? Okay. Yeah, I did not appreciate the first one.
Wow. So you're with
the second one's probably going to be trashola.
It's like the 1% right there.
What, the Deadpool movie?
Yeah.
You guys like the Deadpool movie?
I mean, I thought it was very entertaining.
I just expected it to be very different.
Great action and comedy from Ryan Reynolds. Who doesn't want that?
Violent?
Ryan Reynolds, first of all, I don't want any part
That's
of
hilarious.
That.
Wow, you don't like Ryan. There that we go.
Ryan Reynolds
stems from there.
Ryan Reynolds, right. If you're listening, you're a terrible actor.
The plot thickens.
At me on Twitter, DJ_JLBS.
We can DJ Pounds.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Yeah.
All right, okay. Wow. So any movie that Ryan Reynolds did is just
done. The only movie he did good in was the movie where he was fat and then he got skinny.
Oh, Just Friends.
Yeah, he did Just good in that Friends. Movie. Good and one. Then he did good movie in that one movie with Sandra Bullock.
Did you ever see the one Waiting? Come on.
No,
Waiting?
Terrible movie.
The Proposal.
Yeah, he did good in that
movie. Whoa, you like The Proposal?
Wait, yeah. Did we just figure out that Jordan's a rom-com fan?
Romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that shit.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, buddy. Thank you. All right, so Jordan likes his rom-coms. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
I just figured out Jordan.
rom-coms. Okay. Great news for this town. America.
Wow.
We have a drinking problem, all of us, apparently.
Drinking
a
water.
New study has recently come out and found out that roughly 40 million... Is it 40 million? 40 or 30 million. Let me get my numbers right. Yeah, roughly 30 million of Americans on a weekly basis get blacked out drunk.
Wow.
Hey, man, life is hard.
Right? Obviously, that happens like on weekly in this town, everyone, right? Yeah.
There's at least two or three people in this town every week.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. That figure is definitely, we add to that number. But yeah. This is a new study that's coming up. It is showing, though, that kids are starting to drink later. No illegal drinking is happening. So that's good. Kids are taking other forms of entertainment other than alcohol until their proper age.
Yeah, play some JV basketball.
Nice. There it is.
There you go.
Right?
That's a good advice.
Get varsity, maybe, eventually.
Nah, never. Yeah,
varsity's ever
varsity.
Never.
JV.
Nah.
Just balling JV.
Yeah, just balling JV.
Balling JV. Well, it's kind of sad news for us here at Chico because, I mean, beer is like a central part. Sierra Nevada is like an integral figure in the society. I don't know. How many of us get blacked out drunk on Sierra Nevada? Probably not that many of us.
Never. If I'm getting blacked out drunk, I'm getting blacked out drunk off Keystone Light.
Yeah.
Woo! Right. Some Rolling Rock.
You can put a lot of them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we got a lot out of this news segment, guys. Jordan loves his rom-coms.
Yes, sir.
America has an overall drinking problem. We need to stop. Which is actually bad for our health overall. We really probably should. Everyone knows drinking's bad for you, yet we can do it. It's like smoking. But hey.
What's worse?
That's a good question.
Right?
I mean, it does say on cigarette containers will give you cancer.
It also says that on beer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says that, they may cause.
Honestly, it says that at like on certain fast food restaurants when you go in. That
there are things in here that may cause birth defects, so cancer. Like,
we never really know what we're eating anyway.
Yeah, pretty much everything in the fast food world is probably terrible for you.
I mean, if you let them tell us, we don't even know what causes cancer. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
happiness.
Yeah, for real.
Lies.
Every time you laugh, just a little bit, it's just creeping up your heart.
Lies on top of lies right there. Okay. So that was the news, guys. I'm going to go into a little segment right now because a big weekend happened for many of the football fans across the world. Soccer is back in action. League play is going on in the Premiership and in France right now. And we had ourselves quite the weekend because
Neymar
is back. So we're going to do a little foot and mouth right now. I got to get that played before we actually get into it because, you know, we all love.
Yeah, I watched some of that.
Love that foot and mouth.
It's actually really interesting.
And now, it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out of a barn side.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Yes. Goal, 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 goal. That was happening all this past weekend right now. For those of you, I talked about it last week. I mentioned how Neymar had finally moved from Barcelona and is at the French Giants PSG. And he made his debut this past weekend.
How'd he do?
He had a fantastic game. I watched it from... I woke up and watched it.
Yeah, like seen him 2 shake in the morning his neck when what? He said he watched it.
I watched it. Yeah,
I watched it.
It was great. He had an assist and a goal. As they beat Ginkamp 3-0. So they are well on their way to Neymar is off to a fantastic start, just as he wanted. Barcelona, on the flip side, is feeling a little down right now. Because the same time as Neymar was making his fabulous debut, Barcelona was going up against Real Madrid in the El Clasico. And unfortunately, Real Madrid lost that one. So it was just bad news for them. Neymar has a brilliant debut for PSG, and the same day they play Real Madrid and lose 3-1. And pretty much a Real Madrid complete dominance performance at the Camp Nou, too, for that matter. So Barcelona was at home. Real Madrid came in there and stole victory from them in the Super Cup. The first leg, they still have a chance next week to get back into it, but down 3-1 aggregate to Real Madrid, that's going to be tough to overcome, especially with no Neymar. So for me, as a PSG fan, loved it. I'll take it any day of the week. And for you Barcelona fans out there, I'm sorry, but I drink your tears for breakfast.
Should have had $400 more million dollars to spend.
Right? I'm just saying, that's all you need. If you have money, you can do whatever you want in this world. I think that's what we've come to realize.
Who else is on the PSG team, like with some notable names?
Angel Di Maria, Edison Cavani.
Okay.
Yeah, Cavani.
Got some Portuguese players over there?
Or what? No, we'll have more Brazilian.
Okay.
We have Dani Alves, another Barcelona guy. Thiago Silva,
wow.
Brazilian dude. Marco Verratti, Julian Draxler.
Right, okay.
That's I don't know if any of you guys actually know those names.
Three was I know enough. Cavani.
You know Cavani? Yeah, you're a grand star right there.
Three examples was enough, Derek.
Yeah, I could name them all. I'm just trying to show you guys. I know the entire roster.
So wait, what team is Pogba on?
Pogba is on Manchester United.
And they did he move?
Wait, was he not on Liverpool?
He was never on Liverpool. He was on Juventus for a long period of time.
Okay.
And then last year he made his debut for Man U, and this is his second season. And they actually, the Premiership kicked off this weekend. That was a great set of games came on. Manchester United had a great showing, 4-0 over West Ham. Their new big signing, the big striker, Romelu Lukaku from Everton. He's great a 6'3". Belgium, yes, scored twice, as is Pogba. So Pogba's still in it. He's doing great. So that is my foot and mouth, guys. I know. I gotta drag on. Giroud's not here, so I'm making the most of it. Okay, I'm soaking it in.
Hollywood Giroud.
Enjoy it, buddy. I know he's listening to the show right now, so I want to especially take a long time talking about it because, you know, it's my show right now.
That's fine.
So as we continue down this path right now, again, this is talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show. Getting a little soccer action and a little soccer talk. But now we're going to transition to another part where I love talking about it again right now. What? A little baseball action because Giroud so rudely cut me off.
Wait, can we go back to football?
Okay, you want to talk football? I'll talk more football with you. Yes, please continue.
I just want to touch so softly on the Ronaldo suspend for 5 games.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I got to bring that back up.
Ref?
Yeah, he did. Yes.
Okay, so when I read this article that he got suspended for 5 games on he received his second yellow card for, I guess he gets the most yellow cards for flopping. He's like
simulation.
He's like the ultimate flopper.
He's a big one,
which is crazy for soccer players to be called a flopper because everyone in soccer
they are pristine guys out there.
But you watch the video and he does. I mean, he kind of initiates the fall, but it was close contact. I wouldn't say that he. I mean, maybe he's just really good at it. But
the main reason why is where it happened. Like if it happened
in the box,
since it's in the box, because all he's trying to do is draw a penalty.
Right.
You're not even trying to. When you saw the play as it went and unfolded, you kind of see he's not really trying to make the play on the ball. He's really just trying to run into Umtiti, the Barcelona defender.
Right.
And like that right there, just because you're in the box right there, all you're trying to do is trying to get a penalty call so you can get a free kick, a spot kick. That kind of more draws the foul more than the card more than anything, because they're really trying to cut down on simulation. That's a big thing now because they really kind of they want to get rid of that stigma.
Right.
And you look at the
video
the
and he barely. I mean, you read the article and you're like, oh man, like Ronaldo got heavy and like shoved this ref to the ground.
It was a love tap.
Like it was to get the dude's attention.
Yeah.
It was like really.
Yeah. You would think in soccer, it's like freestyle as soccer is, you know, with the celebrations and the fans and everything. Yeah. You would think that would be minor, but I guess not. I mean, that's fair though. I guess you can't touch a ref.
You can't. I mean, they're sacred ground essentially. Yeah. I mean, I know in the NFL, if they do that, you're going to get in trouble.
You're going to get big time.
Big time. Yeah. But five game suspension, that's a big one. They're going to miss out the next second leg of the Barcelona Super Cup. So that again, they have a chance there coming down from 3-1. But again, and then the silly part was he got his first card for taking his shirt off when he scored a goal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a no-no. For some reason, you can do like pretty much anything you want. You take your jersey off.
You can't take your jersey off anymore?
Right, no, you can crawl over to the corner flag and urinate on it and simulate a urination on it like a dog, but you cannot take off your jersey. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Damn.
Speaking of, I was going to say, we should kind of stick on this whole celebration thing.
Yeah,
right,
because the NFL has some crazy ones.
Right.
Are you kidding me right now? They apparently have banned the use of bow and arrow actions.
Yeah, Josh Norman.
Yeah. Because that's, you know, bow and arrows kill people, obviously, guys, okay? And the imaginary ones are the worst.
He plays for the Redskins, though. We're
I feel
about.
Like it's fitting.
Yeah, right?
But at the but same time, still- but every time he does it, it's almost like the Usain Bolt, like he's just like launching it into the air. Like you never see, like I get when like the, you know, they created the rule, you know, like cutting the throat, you know, like you're done, you know, in football, that's a penalty. I mean, that's kind of, you know, grotesque a little bit, but...
No one's literally meaning it, though. That's the thing. Yeah. We take too much little things from it. It's just, it's a celebration. Don't, like, a guy doing this means, like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm gonna, this right now, you have no chance. When you, like, set your throat, it means you have no chance right now.
Right.
You're dead to me.
It's just a little graphic.
Yeah, yeah it's sure, it's graphic right there, but, like, there's no literal meaning. Like, he's not going to actually, like, take a night. Like, I'd watch that sport, actually.
Do you guys think that he, do you guys think that he was targeted in this personally with the bow and arrow, Josh Norman? No, do you think the league went after him, or is it just so many people doing it? I mean, the NCAA, you can still, I mean...
How many other people do that bow and arrows? Granted, I don't even really pay attention to who does what celebration. I just kind of
I mean, the bow and arrow is more of a basketball celebration to me.
Deshaun Watson did it a lot in college.
Yeah. You know, like when you get on that one knee and like pull it up. Yeah. You have to make that. But still,
I think they just took a stand on the more notable celebration. Like, obviously, you can't twerk anymore.
That was good, clean fun right there. Good, clean fun.
Hope Antonio Brown keeps that alive.
No pelvic punches, man. You can only do two. That third one, they're throwing that flag.
Two strikes, you're out, man.
Yeah.
Watch those thrusts, y'all. Such keep them lives. Legal. Such keep them life. Legal. Was there anything else was notably banned on there? Just the... Anything, I don't know. I didn't quite have the entire list. But still,
yeah.
I mean, still the fact that they're having regulations on celebration, I feel, is kind of just mundane to begin with. Like, why? Let them do it. You know, it's fun.
I mean,
scored a touchdown.
The fact that they're taking some of them out of soccer, like, I was always thinking, like, the last couple of years, I've been thinking, like, man, I played the wrong sport. Like, in soccer.
Yeah. They have the best ones.
Yeah, like, when you score, like, you can literally take 10 minutes. Right. And celebrate. Yeah,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Depending on what you like. You see pick him, like, up the run ball, yeah, run to the other side, throw the ball in the crowd, crip walk.
Yeah. I mean, you really can. Like, you see some great celebrations coming out of soccer right there.
Yeah.
And football. You need to take note of football. So, come on. Learn from each other, guys.
Yeah.
And football players should learn to be not so, you know, simulation hungry. Hmm. You know, just accept it. Okay. So, like I said, we're going to move forward right now because the most anticipated... But way overhyped. Is it even going to be anything? Super fight. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor.
McGregor's going to knock him out.
Do we even have, like, I feel like the, he had so much hype, 2 weeks ago? Everything was high rising. That's all we're talking about. It was great. Press conferences are
them
more.
Selling it has just become obnoxious.
Now, it's like nothing. You feel like you don't hear anything about it other than you did hear, you see Conor McGregor going out there and doing some. "Quote unquote shadow boxing looks like he's
the new Dana White just released a new 10-second clip of McGregor boxing
Paulie Malignaggi,
right, the old middleweight champion,
yeah,
and knocks him down. But it's times. I mean it's
he looks like he was paid to get punched. It's like, weird. Hey, yeah, don't throw any punches.
It's a quick video. It doesn't look like a lot of like good footwork or punching. It's just kind of haymakers being thrown and maybe clicks him.
I mean, this is the only chance.
You
really.
See that? You like, see that interview though with Floyd Mayweather, and he talks about, you know, because of the Manny Pacquiao kind of debacle with everyone, you know, everyone buying into that, buying the pay per view and just being, you know, really greatly disappointed in that fight. He says, you know, he owes it to his fandom to knock McGregor out. So he's gone on record to say that this isn't going to be a defensive fight for him, which is crazy because he's, you know, arguably the best defensive fighter we've ever seen in boxing. So for him to say that he's going to kind of go on more on the offensive and go on the warpath to knock McGregor out is either a great sell or...
A great sell.
Or a great sell.
Yeah. Though Floyd... His defense is stupendous, you know what I'm saying? His offense is not lackluster. I mean, as he's gotten older, he's definitely slowed down with knocking
people out.
I'm just
saying, he's not a knockout guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But he has 20-plus knockouts out of his 50 wins, you know what I'm saying? That's pretty good.
Floyd Mayweather we're talking about?
Yeah. He has 20-plus knockouts. Yeah. He knocked out a couple strong chin guys.
Okay. I'm enticed.
He doesn't fight like that.
I'm enticed because... Yeah. At first, when this kind of unfolded and this fight was going to happen, I was like, all right, I'm kind of on McGregor's corner. I just want to see kind of the underdog prove wrong. And then through this kind of marketing spiel of selling this fight, McGregor's just become just royally obnoxious to me. I just some of, I mean, on both.
Would you
I guess
triple your income on one fight right now? I think you kind of like have a stance like, yeah, nice. I'm gonna become a little obnoxious right now. I just got paid.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, he wants to sell the fight so he can get kind of a, you know, a bigger bonus or whatever it may be. But I just.
I mean, I think how
I just
want to
see Floyd put him in his place is what I really want to see.
Yeah, I want to say think how like somehow you feel is because of like how they're almost characterizing him. Because I mean, they've been putting you know promoting this fight for the last what 2 or 3 months,
yeah,
give or take,
right, yeah,
and. They're trying to play every angle. They've played the race angle, the, you know, white man versus black man. They played the boxer versus the MMA guy.
Homophobic
versus, you know what I'm saying?
Which I really am
the bigot versus the, you know what I'm saying, the just the guy, the rich guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they try to play at every storyline possible. So, this is just storylines falling on each other, and unfortunately, they've characterized McGregor.
I think I've kind of said it. For me, I feel it's just the two biggest douchebags in their.
I mean, most people already hate Floyd. So it's like,
I got to get that status.
We already hate Floyd, but most people already don't like him. So it's fine.
I mean, Floyd, cream baby. That's what he stands for.
Yeah.
You know, I was gonna say, I was looking at the line right now. From what I'm seeing, it looks like McGregor is at +500 on.
Which is amazing because it used to be, I think it started out at 750. +750.
Wait, that means he's the favorite?
No, he's the underdog. Plus, he'd be
Like I said, because Floyd originally came out as a huge one as -2250, and then McGregor came back apparently at 950. But I think right now it's at +500.
Wow.
So I don't know. Like, do you think? I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks there's some conspiracy out there that's saying, "Hey, there's gonna be a round two of this. Let's make it look like a good fight." Somebody like,
and they want to resell.
Yeah, and then redo it again. But, I mean, the way it's going, like, I don't think they're going to be able to do a resale because I think everyone has this perception that this fight's going to be, like, a complete joke, which it probably will be.
Yeah, I mean, unless you get one of those, you know, epic, you know, 8 to 9 rounds of just haymaker blows back and forth, I don't see it happening
which
is not going to happen. Yeah. I mean, both are going to go. I mean, I see McGregor going out there trying to put on some sort of a show, but then slowly getting
worn down,
countered, you know, is what it's going to turn out to be. So
I think this
I see
the
unanimous
last.
In Floyd's favor.
This should be the last boxing event ever. This should be the
boxing for
Yeah, like they should retire the sport of boxing after this fight. This should be the last boxing fight
ever. All right, question. Are we watching it?
I'm going to watch it, but I'm not going to pay for
it.
Yeah, but say same.
Same, yeah.
I would watch it if I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm willing to buy a six-pack to get my way into
something. I bought Pacquiao Mayweather, and I'm not going to do that again.
Oh, yeah. You played yourself.
Yeah. Honestly, the last good boxing match I saw was the one that was free on ESPN, where it was Pacquiao versus that Australian guy.
And he almost lost.
And
Pacquiao
should have won. The Australian guy did. And I mean, it was great. Like, I was working at that time.
It was a good fight.
No one in the bar at that point. I was able to just watch it. And it was a great fight from beginning to end. All 12 rounds of it.
Yeah. It was.
So, I'm the same way. Gonna give this. I'm super intrigued by it.
Are we all Mayweather?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I want to see McGregor win, but I think Mayweather will.
Okay.
I'd love to see him just shock the world, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Shocking the world's always fun.
Right.
Okay, like I said, this is talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk show right now. We're going to get away a little bit from the fighting right now because I got to give a shout out right now to my boy, Giancarlo Stanton. We're not really boys yet, but, you know, figuratively.
I feel like you guys would be.
Yeah, right? I think we could be. He is on a tear right now. Just set this, just homered again today for the 5th straight game. He's at 43 for the season and just broke the Marlins single season record. Guy is awesome. That guy's killing it right there.
So strong.
That's the dude that wears the face mask?
He's got
the little chin. The little chin guard.
Yeah. He got hit in the jaw.
Yeah, broke his jaw.
Yeah. Dude, a lot of people get hit in the edge.
You see his home run last night, though, was amazing. This guy, I've never seen a baseball player sit so flat-footed in the box and hit a 400-foot oppo home run.
He's a big-ass dude, though.
So strong. Yeah. I mean, well, and everyone talks about what's the Yankees rookie?
Aaron Judge,
thank you.
He's falling off right now.
He is. He's having a kind of a slump right now. But, everyone's like, oh, you know, he's 6'8", 280. He's such a big guy. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton is 6'6", you know, 240. He's still a big dude.
Is he that big?
He's big, man.
I thought he was more like 6'3", but 6'6".
No, he's 6'5", 6'6". He is a big man.
That's a big dude.
So I feel like he's kind of getting overshadowed, but...
No, I mean, he's overshadowing Judge right now. But
with Judge's slump, he's kind of coming back to the forefront, which is nice.
I mean, but Aaron Judge being a rookie and doing this, because right. John Carlos has been in the league a while.
A few years.
Him be doing that as a rookie is pretty impressive. But I want to get back to where batting average is important, though, in baseball. I'm tired of, you know, these high home run guys with a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I would say Judge.
Judge is a big strikeout guy.
He's still a rookie.
He's a rookie, though.
Yeah.
I feel like he's an average.
Well, it's hard to look on it at the slump he's having right now and compare it to the first half of that season, because that first half of that season was...
I mean, he was hitting like over 330.
Right. That was such a great...
He's in 289, 418 on base, 603 slugging right now.
It's not trash.
On base is not bad.
Yeah.
400 and on base.
But what it was, you know, a month and a half ago.
No doubt.
You know,
he's really hit
a bad slump.
He's killing it. So, again, just got to give a shout out to John Carlo. That guy is, that's a freak of nature. I want him to go for 60, man. Let's get a high home run number, you know? Let's go back to those days again.
Check his piss.
I want him to leave.
No, we don't need that. I don't want that signal. Let him go to
a team that, like, actually matters.
Speaking
you know?
Of Florida, man, Derek Jeter. Right. Just got himself an ownership
of the Marlins.
And the Marlins, yeah. Yes. He and his group just bought the Marlins.
A traitor.
So finally, the Marlins, probably one of the worst owned teams, the worst ownership teams.
So bad.
I've known people that have played for them, and it's just a terribly run organization.
Do you think it's going to help the Marlins though? I mean, financially, yes, because the last owners spent ridiculous buku bucks on statues of dolphins and. Random aquatic animals.
From what I hear, their first thing is they're going to get rid of that big thing in the center field. That was completely
that statue that costs more than outfield.
Yeah. So I mean, you think like I don't really know who his ownership group is really, but I mean, Derek Jeter, he's a great name for the baseball. He says he's going to be the almost GM or something,
manager of operations.
I mean, I don't know. He's never done it before, has he? I mean, just because you're a player doesn't mean you're going to be good in the front office.
A lot of these people in these front office positions have never had these actual positions before.
Right, yeah. Right. They're just like, I've kind of seen how it's worked before from the outside. Yeah. I think I can figure it out.
You just hope they have good judgment.
I mean, granted he's come from an organization where he has learned a lot, I'm assuming, to the degree of the Steinbrenners. I mean, yeah, they did buy a lot of players. But
that's still,
he learned how to win, you know, and that's...
Because he was nice, though.
Regardless, you learn how to win. You learn how to win. You know, so that carries over hopefully to the Marlins organization. But
can I offshoot real quick?
Go for it, please.
Okay, since I wasn't here the last couple of weeks, what do you guys think about the Kyrie Irving thing?
Okay. All right, bringing it back a little bit. I can appreciate it. But
and also, shout out Derrick Rose. Just signed with the Cavs. Yeah. $2.1 million, 1 year. MVP, baby. MVP Rose. He's coming back.
I mean, I think for most of us, we're kind of like, he has no leveraging power, and he's kind of just being, slightly idiotic, and especially in his demands. Like, sending to these teams, you have no trade clause, brother.
I see where he's coming from and trying to get that focal point out there of not wanting to be, like you said, you weren't here last week. Last week we talked about not wanting to be like the Dwayne Wade or the Chris Bosh of being left in Miami, you know, because there's this rumor of LeBron leaving, you know, after this year or maybe even potentially before. So, you know, I feel like Kyrie's trying to not maybe put it out there, it got leaked somehow, but wanting to get the notion out there that, hey, I don't need LeBron, I want to go somewhere else. You know, I don't want to be under his thumb or his shadow, whatever it may be. I think it's a smart move, PR-wise for Kyrie. But like I said, he has no leverage to leave. I mean, it's fully on the Cavs. Now that they got Derrick Rose, obviously he's not Derrick Rose of 2011.
If they were going to try, I think they would have tried to do it already. Like somebody would, if they really wanted him, they would have gone after him. I think a lot of people can see that Kyrie is not a guy that can win a championship on his own.
I mean, how do you say that? And there's still a lot of time.
No, I mean, he's still really young. Yeah. I don't think he's a guy that can win it on his own, but I think he can be a focal point in a big two or a big three.
No one can win it, but he's not.
But he can be a focal point in a big three or a big two, and he is in Cleveland. He's just not the focal point.
I don't think he can be the number one on a team. I think he can be
the number one scorer.
I think
he can be the number one scorer, but like
he can't be the best player.
LeBron James, like I said, he has to be at least step it up way defensively.
Right, but look, I mean, look in Kyrie's defense. Look at the Cleveland Cavaliers championship. You know, everyone's like, oh, you know, LeBron said he was coming back. LeBron's going to bring a championship to Cleveland. LeBron brought a championship to Cleveland. But who made that last second, you know, 30 seconds left, dagger three-pointer in Game 7 against the Warriors? Kyrie Irving. You know what I mean? There's these points where everyone overshadows Kyrie, and I feel like that's where he's getting at, where he's like, I don't want to have these moments that should be looked back on as great moments for me that are overshadowed because LeBron's on my team.
But, I mean, unfortunately,
I'm on LeBron's
team. It's true. And, like, yeah. I get where he's coming from. He kind of hated the whole people saying LeBron was some type of father figure to him. Right. He didn't like that.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time right now, know where you are and realize who you're playing with and know that you're playing with LeBron James, who is a once-in-a-lifetime style of player right now. Granted, we've had great players come and go. But LeBron James, I think a lot of people can say he's got – there's something different breed about him. And you're not going to be able to surpass that. Like, you can try your best, and, like, you can maybe, especially because he's going to be out by the time you get to your pinnacle. You know,
well,
just embrace, have this experience, learn with it, and you don't be that guy when he's gone, because you could be.
Well, I just feel like, you know, at his young in the age of Kyrie is, because Kyrie's like 23, 24, most players in his predicament of being as good as he is haven't had the talent necessarily to leverage a big three, other than players like LeBron and Dwayne Wade and stuff like that. So at his young age, he's trying to leverage. I'm thinking